Take your Bibles, if you have them tonight, you want to turn to the Gospel of Mark chapter 10. Gospel of Mark chapter 10. You all know that time of the morning. Mark 10. Still kind of chilly, a little nippy in the air. You go out and you look to the east and you can see that like orange glow. The sun's coming up. This man was already up. He always got up early in the morning. But he was kind of excited because these were good days for him and his line of work. It was going to be unleavened bread and Passover. And just like it is at Christmas time, you ever notice for us around Christmas time, people are just a little nicer, a little more friendly. It's kind of that way with maybe the Jewish people around. Some people over there say, no. But just a little more gentle, a little kinder. And this person is hoping, he's thinking, and maybe just a little more generous. Because these people are coming down this highway, and as it gets closer to Passover, the crowds, the pilgrims are going to be just increasing. And he's going to be out there. He's blind, he's a beggar, and his name is Bartimaeus. And little does he realize that this very day is going to change his life forever. If you're in Mark chapter 10, let's go down to verse 46. I'd like to read this passage. In another passage of another gospel account, it says there were several blind men, but in this account, it focuses just in on this man. You're with me now? Verse 46 of Mark 10. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. It says he calleth thee. I remind all of us here tonight that Jesus is calling you. He calls upon us every day. If we are his blood-bought children, this is just a symbolic story of anybody here. Jesus calls us every day. Sometimes at the beginning we're being called to be saved, but each and every day he's calling us to behave so that people will know that we are his children, we are his disciples. I'd like to go through this with some R words. And the first one is 46 is the reason. It says, and they came to Jericho, speaking Jesus and so forth, and his entourage, and as they went out of Jericho. Well, what's the reason they're in Jericho in the first place? Well, if you're in this same chapter, would you go back with me to verses 32 through 34? This is the last spring of Jesus' public ministry. And he's more and more telling his disciples what's awaiting him and them when they get to the holy city. 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. See, because they've heard what's going to happen. This isn't the first time. So as they keep getting closer to Jerusalem, they're very uneasy. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto them, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered into the chief priests, and unto the scribes, And they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. They shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. You see, most people, if they knew this was the kind of welcoming party they were going to have, they would go anywhere but Jerusalem. But Jesus is going there because this is where the Father has told him. And he knows what his mission is about. So that's the reason. And he's up there with this great multitude. And of course, he's always being dogged by the Pharisees, by the Sadducees, always trying to trip him up, always trying to get him to do something where the crowd will give up on him. And then there is this blind beggar, disabled man. And it's interesting when you look about him in here, because it's stated twice. It says there was the disciples and a great number of people on the road. But then there is this particular man who has, I'm sure, his little hut right there near that road. Now, if you was over there, you'd realize this road is a north-south road. It's the road of the Jordan River Valley that ends up in the Dead Sea. It's basically a north-south road. And when you get to Jericho, even the highways today go that way, and you get into Jericho, and then there will be a road that'll go off, and it starts literally going up this mount. Because when you're at Jericho, and when you get up to the top of the mountain, which is going to be the Mount of Olives, you have gone up 3,569 feet. So you're zigzagging along. And it's always fun, like sometime if you're on one of those little roads where it's the turn is so sharp you can read your old license plate, but you're on one of these big Greyhound buses, you know, and you're looking at the guy up there like saying, you drive this road often? He says, no, this is my first time. Keep your eye on the road. But it's a long climb up there. So all these pilgrims are coming. And this guy, he's listening, and he's happy because he's thinking, you know, he's probably calling out stuff, who knows, something like this. Have mercy on me, and the Lord, the Eternal One, will have mercy on you. He will reward you. You are on your way to Passover. Please do not pass me by. And maybe those Jewish people are thinking, you know, normally I wouldn't give this guy a thought. I wouldn't give him a coin. But I'm going up to worship God. I know what the law says about being kind, all of these things. So maybe he might hear just a little chink, chink down there, and he's happy because it's that time of year, unleavened bread and Passover, where people might remember him and give him a few extra coins. And so he's sitting there, and he's hearing these people going by, and he's calling out to them, be merciful, please, a blind beggar. And it says there, his name is Blind Bartimaeus. Now, it's funny. The word Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus or son of Timotheus. And so you read it in verse 46, it says, he's blind Bartimaeus, he's the son of Timotheus, the son of Timotheus. So if you think about this, what is his name? His name is that he's the son of Timotheus. He doesn't really have a name. And you know why? Because, again, sounds heartless, but he's born blind. He can have no work. He has no job. He doesn't have any kind of a, you know, he's just sort of an outcast. He has to make his way in the world by begging. So who is this guy? What's his name? Well, he's Bartimaeus. He's the son of Timotheus, and that's basically all he is. He's a blind, no-name beggar. But today's going to be different. So he's calling out. In verse 47, we look at there's a realization. As you well know, I heard somebody say it the other day, and it's true. If anyone does not have their sight, then all the rest of their, you know, their senses are heightened. And especially for one who does not have their sight, their hearing is acute. They listen to everything. And as he's sitting there calling out to the people to please to throw a coin his way, he knows the sound. He knows the sound of the people going by. But he's hearing something, and there's something different. There's more of a tumult. There's some shouting going on. There's something different about it. So he reaches out, and he maybe feels out. He gets the hem of somebody, and he tugs on him. The man looks down, and he says, yes, what do you want? He says, there's something going on. I hear shouting. There's a tumult. There's something. Who's going by? What's going on? And he says, well, you just about missed it. This prophet, he's coming through town, but you notice it says in verse 46, the first words, and they came to Jerusalem, and as he went out, I mean to Jericho, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, He says, you've almost missed it. It's this, what is his name? He's from Galilee. It's this prophet, Jesus of Nazareth. He's going through right now, and there's a big crowd of people going with him. I want you to turn back with me, if you will, just for a moment to the Gospel of Matthew. We're not going to go back to too many others, but Matthew chapter 11. I want to tell you that when he heard the word, Jesus of Nazareth, blind Bartimaeus instantly knew something, because in chapter 11, even John the Baptist, of all people, you would not have thought this would have happened. But there was this expectation that when the Mashiach come, when the Messiah would come, there would be certain things that he would be expected to do. It says in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 11, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. Look at that next line. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, so forth and so on, the dead are raised up. Blind Bartimaeus says, Jesus of Nazareth, I have heard right here on this road, people have come through, and the one thing I have heard is that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, he has restored the sight to the blind. And immediately, as he's heard that he's just about leaving Jericho, he's just going to be out of shouting range. I'm not going to do it in here, but I want to tell you, blind Bartimaeus, he shouted out to the top of his lungs. He knew there was the noise of the crowd, and he and all that he can do, yelling and screaming as loud as he can. And when he heard, verse 47, back in the passage, that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. So it's very interesting when someone says, son of David. It's not the words. We're going to find out it's the heart behind them. When he called out, Jesus, thou son of David, I want to remind you that about a week or so later, when Jesus is hanging on the cross, his title is used there also by some of the mockers. If thou be the son of David, come down off that cross and save yourself. They called him son of David. But the heart was one of hatred. It was one of mocking. It was one of ridicule. Here, Jesus hears this man cry out. And he says, Jesus, which means what? Yeshua. Salvation is in this one. Yeshua, thou son of David, have mercy on me. So that is his realization. Look at the next verse, verse 48. He's rebuked. I don't know which man it was, the crowd, but they said in verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That's the world for you, isn't it? Somebody standing there, probably, you know, they have their sight. Here's this great man, Jesus, you know, he's been walking for miles. He's known as the prophet. He's done all these miracles. He's claimed to know the Father, all these things. And there's this Jewish individual standing there, and here's this blind, no-name beggar sitting there screaming his head off, you know, hey, Jesus, have mercy on you. Would you shut up? You're embarrassing everybody. That is Jesus of Nazareth. He's a prophet. He speaks with authority. He's big in Israel. He has a name for himself, unlike you. He's very, very important. And he's going up to Jerusalem for Passover, the major event on the Jewish calendar. Would you just be quiet? Don't you understand? He has no time for someone like you. And Bartimaeus says, you know what? Everything he said to me, I don't care. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The next four words, always gets me. And Jesus stood still. He remained right there. He's been walking for miles. He is the Son of God. He's on his way up He has just said earlier, we looked over in those other verses, he's on his way to be rejected and mocked and scourged and crucified, and God will hurl all the sin of all the world on him. That's some pretty big stuff. And yet this one no-name blind beggar calls out and says, Jesus, basically, do you have time for me? And Jesus stopped, stood still. I'm glad he stood still for him, because Jesus stood still for me one day. And if you're saved, there was one day when he stopped dead in his tracks. Everything came to a halt because you called on him. And he heard in your voice coming from your heart. And that's what caused him to stop. He's been called Son of David. He'll be called Son of David again. But he called him Son of David with reverence, asking for mercy. And isn't it interesting that Jesus, he now goes and Jesus stood still, and he says he commanded him to be called. The man or the group of the people, whoever they were, who rebuked Bartimaeus and told him to shut his mouth, now the Lord Jesus Christ looks to those people and he reproves them. He commands them. I'm standing still. Someone is called. He says, go get him. You know where he's at? This man calling out to me? Go get him. Bring him to me. And see, the fact of the matter is, and you think about it, it's true. The man or the people who said, he's too busy for you. Jesus said, you know what? You know what you are, sir? You're the kind of person who's always too busy for me. Well, he doesn't have time for you. Jesus said, you know, sir, you're the kind of person that never finds time. You never have time for me. Well, he's big and important. He's not a blind beggar like you. And Jesus reproves those people and says, you know what? You are those kind of self-important people, or you think you're big and mighty, and you never have time for me. But I want to tell you something, you people who have reproved him and rebuked him. It's the man like that, the blind man, the beggar, the no name, the nobody, that when they call out in their desperation and they call out for mercy and they call out for you to heal them and work with them, don't you understand that it's people like this? This is why I came to planet Earth. This is who I've come for. Not the high and the mighty. I've come for them because they call for me. So he calls them over. He said, be of good cheer. Come on now. You know, a couple of minutes ago they were saying, shut up and go away. Now they say, well, you know, be of good cheer. He calls thee as he calls us. Verse 50, the word is refuse. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to him, came to Jesus. You got to move quickly. But if you know anything about that ancient day, this guy's a beggar. He's poverty stricken. He's not fallen through the net. There's no net for those people back then. There's no safety like it is in America. And the garment you're talking about is what would be like a cloak or a coat. And that in that time was for a person, that would have been no doubt about it, that would have been his prize, his chief possession. Because over in Israel with the humidity the way it is, I tell you what, during the day, you think you are going to fry. And so you get that cloak, you get that blanket, you get that garment, and you pull it over, you stick a stick there, and this is, you know, to get in the shade. This is first century central air conditioning, okay? But then when the sun goes down, you're not frying anymore. Now you're freezing. And now you take that little stick out of there and you wrap that thing up. That's your coat. That's your blanket. That's your teddy bear. That's the whole shebang right there to keep you warm through those nights in Israel. Look what he did. There's a message there. Why? Verse 50. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. What's the messenger? Remember what Paul said? He goes through that and he says, I was this, I was that, I was a leader, I was a Jew among Jews, all these things. I was Saul of Tarsus. But he says, until I met Jesus Christ. And then all that stuff that was so important to me, it became what? Can you tell me? Yeah, dung, refuse, garbage. And the message here is that blind Bartimaeus, this is his garment, and there's probably some coins down there. He's not thinking about anything. He just takes it, and it says there, what does it say in verse 50? And casting away his garment. He didn't say, oh, I'm going to go talk to Jesus. I better fold this over here, and I'm going to set it down right here. He just took that garment and, whoosh, and threw it away. When you meet Jesus, everything else is garbage. Gold is garbage when you get to meet Jesus. And so we're going to have this meeting here. Verse 51. Here's the response. And again, to think about this. Here's a meeting. Two men. One is the son of God. The other one is the son of Timotheus. The one is Almighty God, and the other is a blind beggar. Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. He's created everything, and this guy has nothing. And you notice what Jesus says? What he says to him in verse 51 is the voice of the servant. You know, when you can you think of the butler or the valet or somebody that comes up to the person that's hired him, and they say, you know, what would you have me to do for you? You know, I rang the bell for you, and I pulled the rope, and you come up and you said, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, what would you have me to do? That's the voice of the servant. The boss, the master, doesn't come up to the servant and say, is there anything I can do for you? You know, no. Jesus, the Son of God, comes up to this blind beggar and he says, basically, you've called for me. Is there anything I can do for you? That's Jesus. Verse 51, and the blind man said unto him, and get this too, in the English it's Lord, that I might receive my sight. But that word Lord there in the original is the word Rabboni. Rabboni. The word rabbi means a master, a teacher, like we call a person a pastor in a synagogue, you call the pastor, the minister, the rabbi. But this is much more tender. This is much more intense when you say Rabboni. What he's basically saying to Jesus, and Jesus knows this, he says, when I called you Jesus, I called you Son of David. I may be blind, but I can see this. You're the Messiah. You are the Son of David. It's not just some title. It's not just words out of my mouth. I've heard what you've done. I may be blind, but I'm a Jew, and I've heard the stories. And I know when somebody comes along like you, that's the Messiah. You are the Son of David, and I call you from my heart, Rabboni. In tenderness, in love, I look to you. Would you, could you restore my sight? And Jesus, being all love, verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Both ways. He's got his physical sight. He's whole physically, but better than that, what we say, he's saved. Jesus is his Savior. And it closes up, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. That's what each of us should do. He's calling us. It's not just that we get saved or we get something from him. He says, you know what? Hey, guys, why don't you put down those fish nets and follow me? And they did that. In closing tonight, I've often wondered sometimes of those Bible characters. They say, hey, if you go back in history and see anybody, or who'd you want to be around? I said, I'd like to go back to the days of Jesus. You read these people. I've often wondered what this blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, looked like. But I think I know. Because every time I look in the mirror, I see a blind, no-name beggar who needs mercy. And you know what? I think I'm seeing a whole room full of people who at one time were blind, no-name beggars, Bartimaeus, but now we're the children of God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the story about a blind man who received his sight, of a man who had no name, but now he has a new name written down in glory, who had no possessions, but now Jesus Christ is his very own, and he's a king's kid. He's of the royal priesthood. That morning when he got up, he was hoping for a few extra coins, but that night, he was a follower of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Father God, let us be encouraged that we know this, that just like Jesus stopped for Bartimaeus, if we're saved tonight, there was a time, someplace, sometime, where when we called on Jesus, he stopped and stood still and said to each and every one of us, what would you have me do for you? We pray these things in Jesus' name.